17. We're going to get over in the story of David and Goliath a little bit this morning, preaching on battles as we're going through our fall program, preparing for battle, and Lord willing, next week, talking about the greatest battle ever fought and won. Fought and won next week. This morning, I want to talk to you on the subject, winning battles for the purest of motives, or for the purest of reasons, if you will. Out of 1 Samuel chapter 17, this great story. Let's stand together, please, and we will read verses 43 through 47. If you'll please join me on the odd-numbered verses here, or excuse me, the even-numbered verses, 44 and 46. So you find 1 Samuel 17, and I'm going to begin reading. We pick up the story here in the middle of the confrontation between Goliath and David. Actually, Goliath is speaking. In verse 43, and the Philistine said unto David, "Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Dear Father, I pray that you'll please bless now the reading of your word. Just to read your word publicly is a blessing to hear it. And I believe, God, it helps just to read your word out loud. And thank you for the great passage this morning. Open our hearts, please, to it. Help us to see some things out of it. Challenge us with a truth or two from it that'll make us a better servant for you. And we'll thank you now this morning. In Christ's name we pray and ask these things. And amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Came to me. He when I could not come to where He was, He came to me. That's why He died on Calvary. When I could not come to where He was, He came to me. That's why He died.
Song, Brother Dan. Thank you. That's good this morning. Here again, I want to preach on the subject, winning battles for the purest of reasons with the purest of motives. Fighting and winning battles for the purest of reasons with the purest of motives. And let's pray together. We'll get into this passage today a little bit. Dear Father, thank You for coming to where we were. Thank You that Jesus took upon Himself the nature of mankind, not angels. Made a little lower than the angels. Was made in our likeness and tasted death for every one of us so that we could be saved. Thank You for loving us, thinking us worthy enough to give of Jesus Christ His life and blood so that we might be saved. Thank You for the good song, how it warmed our hearts this morning. And now, Lord, take Your word, please. Use it as a sharp two-edged sword. And I pray that You'll do some good with it in our hearts this morning. Speak to the soul, I pray, especially that's without Christ today. And we'll thank You, Lord, for that. God, give us a good time in Your book. It's a wonderful book, marvelous book. And we need Your Spirit's power and help to preach it and understand it and hear it rightly. We'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. There's no doubt that the battle between David and Goliath goes down in history as one of the most memorable ones ever. As I have said before, preaching on this out of this text here, it is referenced often today in situations where an underdog, if you will, faces a bigger, larger opponent. Sportscasters will reference this story, and they'll describe a game by saying something like, "Today we have David versus Goliath in this battle on the football field." And, you know, when he says that, basically you get the picture. The David is the team that maybe is the smaller school. Maybe it's a Division II or Division I, III school, and a smaller school and a lesser number of players. Maybe they have a losing record, a team that hasn't been to the World Series in now 101 years, amen, and so forth and so on. And, things like that. And kind of what we're talking about here, the team that should not win the game. That's the David. Okay. Then you got the Goliath. The Goliath is the team that has more players, bigger players, maybe a larger student body to draw players, you know, a bigger pool to draw from, a trophy-laden history. They got a history, a trophy case that has basketball nets, you know, championships, this and that. And they've got they should win the game easily. And it's David versus Goliath. And often in sports, the Goliaths do win over the David. I would say more often than not, the Goliaths usually win. But not here in 1 Samuel chapter 17. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, David triumphs over Goliath. The smaller triumphs over the bigger. The should not whips the should. Amen. And I think we all take some kind of pleasure and comfort in reading this story here. This great big over 9 foot tall giant gets his block knocked off by this little fellow with a slingshot. There's just something great about that story, isn't it? And the greatest thing about it is it's true. It really happened. It's not the figment of somebody's imagination like the $700 billion bailout is. You know what I mean? It's just dream something up. You know, it's just this is real. Okay. This is substance here. So it is obvious that God brought victory for Israel through David. It was obvious that God did it. We can talk about David's preparation and his courage and bravery, and he was. And I don't take that away from him. Preach messages on that. But God gave the victory. It was God that did it. And David knew it was God. Look at verse number 47 again. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. Now, David knew it was God. There are many key factors that went into God giving this young boy victory over this champion of the Philistines named Goliath. There are several key elements, and we could preach a whole series on it. But the one element that I want to make the major thought of this message today is found in verse number 46. Now, when you begin reading here, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand," and then you keep reading, you almost think David's trash talking this guy. I mean, I will smite thee. I mean, you can see his dreadlocks, you know, and his, you know, I'm just teasing, okay? "And I will smite thee, and I'll take thine hand from thee, head from thee, and I'll give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day into the fire. I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna knock your head off. I'm gonna feed you to the birds." Whoa. This guy's 9 feet tall. But he understands that the battle is the Lord's. David knows that. And he said in verse number 45, he's not trash talking here, because trash talking is when you talk in your own might. Trash talking is when you talk about your own strength. Look at verse number 45. If it's not enough what he said in verse 47. He said in verse number 45, "Thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel." I come to you in God's name, sir. And in verse number 46, he said, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand." And in verse 47, he says, "He will give you into our hands." So David's not trash talking. David has his confidence in the right place and the right person, if you will. He's got his confidence in God. But in one statement, he reveals his motive for wanting to defeat Goliath. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. What's your reason, David? Why do you want to knock his head off? Why do you want to deliver his head to the carcass of the birds of the air? Why do you want to do that? He said in verse number 46, "that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Isn't that good? Amen. David, in David's mind, he did not want the, and in his heart too, he did not want the victory for his own notoriety. He did not want the victory for revenge over the Philistines because he hated them. He did not want the victory even for King Saul's sake. He did not want the victory for his fellow soldiers' sake. David yearned, longed, and desired for victory for God's glory, that God might be exalted. He said, "God, if you give the victory, your name will be magnified. Your name will be exalted. Your name will be lifted up. Your name will be glorified." And that was David's motive, that God might be glorified. Now, this motive is seen in other places and other battles that were fought in the Old Testament. We won't turn to them, but let me reference a couple of them for you. Remember Elijah on Mount Carmel? He's up there all by himself, the prophet of God. 850 false prophets of Baal, they've got their altar there, you know, and they've put the sacrifice on the altar, and all day long they've jumped around and cried out and screamed for their God to send fire, because that was the deal. The God that sends fire out of heaven is the real God. So we're going to decide today if Baal is God or if Jehovah is God. The one that sends fire is God. They said, "That's great. That'll work. We'll do that." And they jumped around and they screamed. And when it didn't happen, he kind of egged them on a little bit. They began to cut themselves and bleed, dance around, and go crazy. And at the end of the day, there was no fire to be seen. You know why there was no fire to be seen? There was no voice to be heard. There was none, and there was none that cared, because there was no God. Okay? So then Elijah steps up there. He repairs the altar. He puts the sacrifice on the stones. He digs a trench. He dumps 12 barrelfuls of water. And then he steps up and he prays this prayer: "Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God." What was his motive? "I'll show them." I don't think that was his motive. "They're a bunch of nuts." That was his motive. "Lord, would you hear me? I desire one thing: that all these people will know that you're God." That's a pure motive, isn't it? That's a sweet motive. In 1 Kings chapter 19, don't turn to it, Hezekiah, he's king of Judah now, later on in the history of Israel. And he has received word of an impending attack by the king of Assyria, and a massive army, probably the strongest army on the face of the earth at that time was the Assyrian army. Here they come. They're going to surround Judah, Jerusalem. Hezekiah hears that, and he prays in 2 Kings 19:19. Listen to his words. He prayed, "Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee." You ever done that? You ever prayed for God to give victory in a battle you're fighting? But listen why he wants the victory. "Save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only." God, I want this victory for one reason and one reason only, that everybody on earth may know that you're God. I want you to receive. Is it warm in here to y'all this morning? Yeah, there's no air moving, I think. Or what? I was afraid of that with the heat on. The heat came on, so. Well, maybe it'll even out. Okay, we'll just go on, and if you get sleepy, go to sleep. Okay, and we'll wake you up when it's over. Okay, so, hey, time to go home. All right. But I see you fanning. I see people. It feels real close right now. So, Brother Joe, will it even out for us? It won't. All right. I better run around or do something then. Okay. Here we go. Forget it. Here we go. Now, okay, I gave you three. So here's this is the third case. David says, "Okay, Lord, I want this victory that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Now, folks, wait a minute. Let's go back in time. It was important that all the earth know that the God of Israel is the one true God, right? Shouldn't the earth know that? Sure they should. Okay, now let me ask you a question. How are they going to know it? Well, we'll give them a Bible. Oh, really? Well, how many were written? Well, get John's and Romans. Excuse me, this is the Old Testament. We'll get some New Testament. We'll get some John's and Romans. There are no Bibles as we have them today. God probably had begun to give His Word. He'd given His Word partially to Moses, and then it was being given over the course of time here. But there is no book like you and I. You know what do missionaries do nowadays? They take a Bible. That's what we helped Brother Vineyard with on Wednesday night. That offering was almost $1,300 Wednesday night. He's taking Bibles and putting them in containers where Jewish soldiers and the containers travel with the units, the platoons, or whatever you call it, divisions, and those Jewish soldiers can go in and check out and keep and have and read a copy of God's Word. Now, there are no Bibles, there are no Johns and Romans, there are no New Testaments to distribute to people in other hands, but there is word of mouth. You know, you guess what I saw the other day? I saw the most incredible thing I've ever seen in my life. This young boy, 17, 18 years of age, a shepherd, with nothing but a sling and a handful of rocks, faced a giant of a man from Gath. His name is Goliath. He's over 9 feet tall. He's a champion of the Philistines. He's got a bunch of notches on his belt from victories that he's won. And I saw that young boy come out there against that giant, take a slingshot and throw a stone. And, I mean, he killed that giant dead, chopped his head off. No, yeah. I saw it on CNN. No, you know. We know it's not true there. Amen. I saw it. And you know what the most amazing thing about it was? Before he started slinging that rope around and launched that rock up in the air, he just said out, and he said, "Boy," he said, "I want everybody to know that there's a God in Israel. I want this whole assembly to know that the God of Israel is the one true God." That's what his whole reason for fighting the giant was. And boy, word began to go around. Look, it was vital that there was a living, vivid testimony that spoke plainly and clearly about the power and person of God. Because there was no or very little written word of God, there had to be powerful, clear, vivid, concise, plain testimony about God and His power. And that was David's motive. David's motive was not for himself. It was not for the Israelite army. It was not for his brothers. It was not for King Saul. It was for his God. "Lord, I want the world to know that you are God." Okay? That's pretty plain, isn't it? Now, question for you this morning. What Goliaths are you facing in life? And I won't even take the time to list Goliath-sized battles. And here's why. The size of the battle is relative to the person fighting it. What may be big for you may not be big for me, vice versa. What may be big for me may not be big for you. Each one of us are probably fighting some Goliath. You know, I got word this week, and some of you have, we've shared it with you Wednesday night, that my pastor's wife out in Iowa found a lump under her arm, and they were going to have surgery. Then they didn't have surgery. They ended up having surgery, and they found multiple tumors there. And some doctor told her it spread all over your body. And they did a full body scan and found out that the cancer was contained to one location. They took the biopsy. Now, the pathology report due tomorrow. Or Brother Brown and I talked on Friday morning at length for a while about the whole situation. Of course, he's not under it, but he's very concerned. She's 57 years of age. Could be they feel like it's lymphoma. That's a Goliath. What battle, what Goliath are you fighting this morning? What may be big to you may not be big to me. What may be big to me may not be big to you. But many, if not everybody in this room, is facing a Goliath-sized battle. And do we want the victory? Well, sure. We don't want to lose. So let me ask you a question. Why do we want victory? That thing we've been praying about and asking God for, why do we want it? What's our motive? What's our reason? Could it be that if we got the victory, it would make things easier for us? And we feel better, you know, maybe be healthier. Or maybe if our spouse got saved or if our spouse got right, it would be easier on me or easier on the kids. And right now I have to do everything when it comes to church and Bible. And boy, I could use a little help. And I wouldn't worry as much. And I wouldn't have this problem. And I wouldn't have this problem. And many times we want the victory because it'll make things easier for us. Make life less complicated, Lord, for me. I don't like to start talking with God about things that I deserve. Because there's not a whole lot I deserve more than hell. So Lord, it would just be sure be easy. So is that the motive for our prayer? God, please, this giant has got to fall. It would just make it so much easier on me if the giant fell. Could it be that would like to get revenge on people we don't like? God, it would be great to just show them. I just want to show them. Show them what? Show them up. Show them that they aren't so hot. Show them that they're not as smart as they think they are. And show them for being so crude and for being so ugly and for being so mean. And that's all revenge motivated. I had a man call me one time. He was unhappy in his church. I knew the man. And he said, you know, I think I'm just going to go in and I'm just going to tell the pastor. I'm just going to tell him. I'm talking on the phone. He's getting agitated. I'm just going to go in. I'm just going to tell him. I said, "What? Okay. Then what? You're going to feel better? Get it off your chest? Can I put some guilt trip on the preacher?" But he got real quiet. He said, "You're right. Wouldn't really do any good." Sometimes our motive for victory is revenge. It's revenge. By the way, David could have had that motive because the Bible says in verse number 43 that Goliath cursed David by his gods. He called on the name of his false gods and cursed that young shepherd boy. So victory for revenge's sake, just to satisfy personal desires, selfish desires. Ha ha! Look who won! I got you! Is that really motive for victory? So we make it easier on ourselves. We get revenge over people we dislike or people or somebody we don't like particularly well. How about this reason? To soothe our wounded pride. Hey. Sometimes we want victory over certain situations because our pride is wounded. And we want God to turn something around because it reflects badly on us. Lord, I don't like how this looks. It doesn't look good for me and my name. And I am for keeping your name right and having a good reputation. The Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. I understand that, friend. But is it really all about us? And so many times our pride is wounded. You know, we thought we did everything right. We tried to do it God's way. It has turned out to be a bitter pill. And it sure makes it look like we didn't try or we did something wrong. It's wounded pride. Asking God to turn this around. Lord, I'm in this battle. I'm in this fight facing this giant. Please, Lord, please. I just make things easier for us, to get revenge on people we dislike, to soothe our wounded pride. Or maybe we feel like it would be the best thing for the other person. Now, you know what? That's not a bad motive. Lord, I'd like you to help with the situation because, boy, I really want them to get saved and they won't have to go to hell. And Lord, I want them to get right. They will avoid trouble in their life and they'll be happy and I want this victory for their sake. That's a good motive, a warning of victory for somebody else's benefit. But can I tell you that's not the best or highest motive? Can I tell you something, friend? David wanted victory for the glory of God. And this is, Sam Gipp did anything in that message that I talked about that I heard at the pastor's conference. It just really brought me back to push the reset button in my own life and realize, you know, this thing is, this folks, it's bigger than me and bigger than you. It's bigger than us. This is about God. My life is about His glory. Your life is about His glory. My family is about His glory. Your family is about His glory. My Christian victories is about His glory. This church is about His glory. It's not about us. It's about Him. David prayed, Lord, it has nothing to do with the fact that killing Goliath would make it easier on the nation of Israel for me, getting revenge on people we dislike, soothing our wounded pride because for 40 days this guy is trumped out there. Send me a man out of 40 days. We just, you know, for 40 days the army of Israel didn't even show up. And their pride is all wounded. But David said, God, it has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with being the best thing for the nation of Israel or our wounded pride or revenge. I want victory because it will bring glory to you. Honor to your name. Honor to your power. You will be exalted through this. God, I want this victory for you. Well, God says, I like that. Now you listen, friend, God desires the worship and love of all people. He desires that His name be lifted up and His Word magnified. And yes, we have the Word of God today, and this Word teaches about Him, and it does lift Him up, and it does honor Him, and it is powerful. But you hear me, friend, there is still something very powerful about a David having a victory over Goliath. A personal, real, live, walking, talking, breathing testimony to God's power, His grace, His mercy that causes people to think twice about the reality of a God. That man is different. He was facing something in his life and he got the victory over it. And you know what? He talks about God and he lives about and goes to church on Sunday and carries a Bible in his lunch bucket and prays over his meal. There must be something about his God. We need to get interested in the glory of God. In fighting our battles. The honor of God in fighting our battles. This exaltation of God in fighting our battles. What kind of battle are you fighting this morning? Are you fighting a personal battle? Are you fighting a personal battle over your flesh? A harmful habit? A bad temper? Some vice that has control over you? I wish I could get rid of these cigarettes. I wish I could get over this vice. I wish I could get beyond this. It is dragging my testimony down. And I've prayed about it and I've asked God for help because it would sure make it easier and I'd be healthier and I'd feel better. Whoa. How about the fact that if you get victory over it, it may bring glory to God? What are you? Would you help me fight this battle? That all the co-workers that I work with and know my situation will know that there is a God in heaven. Would you help me, God? God, would you help me win this battle so that my neighbors, the people I do business with, the relatives, anybody that hears by word of mouth, that you'll get glory and honor. What are you fighting this morning? Relationship battles in marriage? At work with a child? You fighting a Goliath? God, if you change this around, it would sure make it easier for us and sure do this and sure do this for me. And okay, we understand all that, folks, but how about the glory of God? You fighting spiritual battles this morning, the salvation of one close to you? Listen to me. Do you understand that this is the motive that Jesus had? And if you read John 17 carefully, you'll find out that his motive, you know what drove him? Lord, you've given me these men. And I want them to come be with me where you are so that they may see my glory, the glory that you gave to me. You know what Jesus' ultimate motive in taking those men to heaven was? That they might see the glory of God. Father, you've given me these men, and I want them to know. And he went on praying, I want the world to know. You see, friend, I think it's... I heard a CD this week that just didn't bear witness with my spirit at all, preached by a preacher that I don't know. And he was saying that, you know, if you got saved for any other reason than the fact that you just were deeply in love with Jesus Christ, then you're not saved. First of all, I'm not sure... You can be deeply in love with Jesus Christ as a lost person. I just thought, did you listen to it? Oh, that's a different one. I just thought, yeah. And it's just something in my, it didn't bear witness. You know, truth bears witness. Amen. I don't care what, and I don't care what they say. I mean, I don't know if you and I are on the same page about this. You know, a person can get saved, but because they don't want to go to heaven. The fear of hell can bring them to conviction. Man, I don't want that. God told us to fear that. Fear that. Fear the one of hell. They can cast both soul, body and soul into hell. So, okay, you say, well, that's not the purest of motives. Well, it may not be the purest of motives, but I think it works. I think you can get saved because of the love of God, the love that God has for us overwhelms us and we go, I can't believe this. You love me that much, gave your son to die in my place. You love me that much, this worthless sinner. God, I love you. I want to be saved. That's okay. But you have a lost loved one that needs to be saved. I think the purest moment. Do you understand, friend, that the greatest thing that comes out of somebody being saved is that God gets glory. Do you understand? God gets no glory out of someone who dies and goes to hell. Now, God's justice takes effect. I don't believe God gets glory over people who die and go to, I believe God gets glory. Paul talked about this. He talked about those people being saved. He talked about that in the ages to come, he would show forth the praise of his glory. Do you understand when people get saved that for all of eternity, they will be testimonies to the glory and praise of God. Look what God did. Look what God did. Look at that old drunken bum. God saved him. Look at that person was 5 years old in church when God saved them and kept them from all kinds of trouble. Look at that woman who used to walk the street and God saved them. God gets glory from that. That's the purest motive for seeing anybody saved. That God gets glory. Changed life. Somebody that was bound for hell now spends eternity in heaven. God gets glory from that. Amen. And if you're lost here this morning, let me just tell you, if you're on your way, you don't know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Hell scares you. It should scare you. And the love of God overwhelms you, and it should overwhelm you. And I'm really not concerned whether it's hell or love. But there's something going on in your heart that says, I don't know where I'm going when I die. I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity. Let me tell you something. The greatest glory God could receive this morning from this service is for one person to come and put their faith in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Is that why we want to see people saved at church? And on visitation, so we can talk about this. We don't do much talking, and I'm okay with the talking that does get done. I'm okay with testimonies, and I love it. But I'm going to tell you the greatest reason for somebody to get saved is God gets glory. Now, let me ask you a question. What battle are you fighting this morning? What Goliath are you fighting? Are you fighting a battle... a Goliath-sized battle against bitterness? Are you fighting a Goliath-sized battle against a vice? Are you fighting a Goliath-sized battle in your marriage? Are you fighting a Goliath-sized battle at work? What Goliath are you facing, and why do you want victory? Why don't you change your prayer to, God, give me this, because I truly believe it will glorify you. That's the purest motive. Lord, you know, getting this guy down would probably make it easier on all of us, because if I miss, it ain't going to be pretty. Lord, getting this guy down would be good, because I don't like those Philistines. Lord, getting that guy down would sure make it better for us. You know, if we could get one hit and win one game in the series, it would sure help our pride. Sure make us feel better about ourselves. But Lord, ultimately, you know why I want this rock to fly straight? Is so that all the earth may know about you. Punk. The first rock concert and Goliath got stoned. Boom. That's not original with me. I heard that years ago. I think it was Johnny Pope said, nothing like that had ever entered his mind before. What do you reckon David said when that old boy fell? I think that's what he said. Glory to God. What do you reckon the army of Israel said? Glory to God. Ah, oh, that's wonderful. God gets the glory. We get the victory. Goliath's dead. Amen. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. All right, let's pray. Help us, Lord. Please help us. God, speak to our hearts. Many people fighting battles. Please help us to desire victory for the purest of reasons. Who would say this morning, Brother Angel, I'm fighting a battle, a Goliath-sized battle. Doesn't matter if I know about it or not. God knows about it. I'm fighting a Goliath-sized battle, and I needed the message God spoke to my heart. Would you raise a hand? I see many hands already going up. Put them up in the air this morning. Put them up. God bless you. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you. Take it down. Wonderful. And praise the Lord. Purest of reasons for victory is that God gets the glory. Amen. Who's here this morning would say, Pastor, I'm not sure. Well, let's start with this. I'm sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I know where I'd spend eternity. I've been saved. I'm a born-again child of God. I know that I'm going to heaven. Please be honest. Would you raise your hand, please, if you know that you're saved? You know that you're saved. Just slip your hand up in the air. Take it. Anybody else? All right. Thank you. Take the hand down. Anybody here this morning, Pastor, I could not raise my hand. I was honest before God. I do not know for sure if I died right now that I'd go to heaven. That does concern me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand, please? Slip it up. Let me pray for you this morning and have the final prayer here. Anybody front to back, side to side, I'm not sure that I'm saved. God bless you. I see the hand. Somebody else, not sure that I'm saved. Somebody else. See a small child's hand. If you raised your hand just now, you're not sure that you're saved. Let me encourage you to do something. Let me encourage you when the music begins to play in just a moment, just to step out of your seat. If somebody's sitting beside you, just touch them and say, please excuse me. They'll let you out. Other people will be coming. I hope many Christians raise their hands this morning. We give an invitation for a reason. There's a purpose for it. God spoke to your heart about your Goliath-sized battle. Now's the time and place at the altar to deal with that. And just let God confirm that in your heart. If you're not saved, please, when the music begins, leave your seat. Come to the front. They'll have somebody here show you how to be saved. That's the most important decision you've ever make in life. And nothing brings more glory to God than somebody getting saved. Pastor, pray for me. I've been saved but never baptized since I've been saved. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? I've been saved but not baptized since I've been saved. Anybody like that here this morning? I came for the purpose of being baptized. All right, I see your hand in the back. God bless you. This is the time and place. Be obedient to Christ. You step out as soon as the music begins as well. All right, dear Father, you're a great God, and your name and your person deserves recognition and honor and exaltation and magnification. And Lord, one way that we can see that happen is by winning battles over Goliaths. May we desire victory for the purest of reasons. I pray this morning for all the folks that raised a hand just now. I pray, Lord, that you'll touch the heart and help them in their fight against that Goliath. And Lord, may the victory bring glory to you. May that be, Lord, their ultimate purpose and aim. God bless these that are not saved, a young child, somebody else. Lord, raise the hand, please. Touch that heart. Bless these that need to be baptized. May the Spirit of God do a good work in our hearts this morning at the invitation time. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. When we stand in just a moment, we'll keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed. It's a very personal time. Step out. Come to be baptized. Come to be saved. Come to pray about your Goliath. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed.